Here we go. Hour number two of the four-hour sports talk extravaganza that we call the Rob Brown Show. It starts now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. A raucous round of applause as we begin the show. And appreciated. Maybe deserved. I don't know. It's up to you. I am Rob Brown, the Great Milonzo on the ones and twos this AM. Should you elect to be a part of the program, got a bunch of ways for you to do it. Number one, the renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone. 844-326-3663. That is 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. If you'd like to join us on the phone line, phone calls are always welcomed on the show. Number two, our text line is open for you at 71307. Is the number to be a part of the show. You can start your text with FAN, F-A-N. We will read them on the air, 71307. The third way is to join us on X or Twitter or whatever you call it nowadays. You can do that by hitting me at the Rob Brown Show, at the Rob Brown Show, by hitting the great one at Lonzo on Word, at Lonzo on Word, or by getting to all of us at the Fan Upstate, at the Fan Upstate, if you want to get at us on the X. You can also join us on our live stream at facebook.com/thefanupstate. You can search the Rob Brown Show on Facebook. You can get at us on YouTube by searching and subscribing to the Fan Upstate or the Rob Brown Show. And you can get at us on Twitch by following the Rob Brown Show. We are live all 4 hours every single day that we do a show, unless we don't want to be. So we got all that going for you. And of course, you can shoot me an email, rob.brown@thefanupstate.com, rob.brown@thefanupstate.com, if you want to get at us with something that is long format, but you don't want to get on the air. Shoot me an email, rob.brown@thefanupstate.com. Okay. It is 7:00, almost 3 in the morning. By the time I'm done saying the sentence, it will be, and now is, 7:03 in the morning. You got 57 minutes till you got to get clocked in and locked in at the office, which of course means you're thinking about that first break, whatever kind of break you take, coffee break, cigarette break, regularity break, whatever break. Well, if you're doing that one, you don't want to talk sports with your coworkers, but the first two, you definitely
come
can.
On. You've been in that restroom. There's conversations going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, there really
that
are.
That should not be going on. It's just it's unsettling.
I mean, they should be going on, just maybe not in that exact moment.
Right. I mean, when I'm in there, I don't want to talk to anybody, but apparently other people don't have that problem.
Like, I'm not anti bathroom conversation. I am when your pants are around your ankles. All right? That's it. There's a difference. If you're at the stand upper next to me, all right, whatever. Like, it doesn't bother me. I don't care. We're grownups. If you're in the stall, especially if you are contributing to the volume level, not with your mouth, that's when I kind of draw a line in the metaphorical sand. Either way, at some point, you're going to be talking sports with your coworkers. And when you do, you need to know what's going on. And if you need to know what's going on, you're in good luck. You're in luck. You have good luck. We do this. It is the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports with your coworkers this lovely upstate Monday morning. Let's dive right in with item number one. The Summer Olympic Games of 2024 have come to their conclusion. The closing ceremony last night ended with the Olympic flame being extinguished in Paris, the Olympic flag being handed off to who other than Tom Cruise, who then took it, and pretty impressively, in 3 minutes, he rappelled off the roof, got on a motorcycle, took it out of the stadium, got on a C-130, flew it to Los Angeles, dropped and parachuted down, then handed it off to a group of Olympic athletes who carried it to Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre on the beach in sunny Los Angeles to start the 4-year countdown to the beginning of the 2028 Summer Olympic Games.
So you don't think that the plane ride thing was that the other part wasn't already filmed?
No, obviously.
With the beach and stuff. I know him rappelling was live, but
no, I think the they had
from Paris.
No, it was 3 minutes. Like it was what they did a montage. They did a Tom Cruise montage.
All right, because I've seen the rappelling,
or as I call it now, a Tom-tosh.
Wow, I've seen it. No, it was really good.
The rappelling was real.
Yeah.
The rappelling was real, and I'm sure all the other things he did, he really did, because Tom Cruise is insane.
Well,
and I mean
behind
that in
scene,
every sense of the word.
Yeah, behind the scenes stuff and almost everything he does, you can see him actually doing it.
Yeah.
They could probably CGI him in, but I probably not.
No, Tom does his own stunts, and he's a psychopath, but I will respect that. Either way, we got a couple of gold medals down the stretch, including the U.S. women getting the dub last night, knocking off France. They trail by as many as 10 before they ultimately got consecutive Olympic win number 61 and another gold medal to show for it. The American women were bolstered down the stretch by Kelsey Plum and Kalea Copper, who came off the bench. Both had a dozen. It was, once again, Asia Wilson, who was the team leader, 21 points on 6 of 14 from the floor, 13 rebounds and 4 blocks down the stretch as well. It was not the best performance we saw in these games out of the American women. There were some spots where they struggled. They had a unusually high number of missed layups, for instance. But when it came down to it, they dominated on the glass, out-rebounded France 48-39. They also earned a lot of trips, played inside basketball, and got to the stripe 34 times. They knocked down 27 of those 34 free throw attempts. And that was enough as the U.S. women grabbed gold. That was the final gold of the Olympic Games for Team USA, who will end in a tie for gold medals with China. Both countries ended with 40 gold medals, but the Americans did run away with the overall medal count, 126 total medals for the Americans. That outpaced China, who had 91, Great Britain with 65, and the home nation of France, who ended with 64. The Americans' final breakdown, 40 gold, 44 silver, and 42 bronze when it was all said and done. So I think it would be fair to say that these Olympics were indeed a great success for Team USA. We're going to talk more about the conclusion of the Olympics coming up later on in the show, but for now we get to item number 2. The deadline for any school intending to depart the Atlantic Coast Conference is this Thursday evening, which makes this story very intriguing. Florida State and the ACC are scheduled to enter mediation coming up this week. We do not know what that mediation looks like. What we know is this: a neutral mediator has been selected and approved by both sides. That neutral mediator will sit down this week at a table with representatives from both the conference and Florida State University to discuss their exit from the conference. Of course, Florida State has a lawsuit going in Leon County that is seeking to be allowed to depart the conference without paying both the exit fee and the media rights arrangement. That comes with a total settlement price tag of north of $500 million. The ACC, of course, fired a countersuit off in Mecklenburg County, North Carolina. That would, well, require them to either pay both of those checks or to stay in the conference. Is this a coincidence that the mediator was selected and mediation begins just days before FSU would be required to notify the conference that they are leaving? Or is this intentional? We don't know yet. There's no way to know. I don't know that we will ever know. What I do know is that this feels like a significant step in the proceedings between FSU and the ACC. Now, ACC officials have shown no willingness to resolve the dispute with a settlement, which would likely still involve a compromise in the multi-millions of dollars. Jim Phillips tore up Florida State at the ACC's football media days, calling Florida State and Clemson both, quote, disruptive and harmful, end quote, and said that attempts to exit by suing their own conference that the conference was willing to fight those lawsuits, quote, as long as it takes. But the judge in the Leon County case did say that both entities needed to sit down and negotiate in good faith to see if there could be some sort of settlement before the proverbial hits the fan. Do I think anything's going to happen? Frankly, no. Do I think that there's a settlement in play? Frankly, no. I think the ACC has made it very, very clear that they will not go down without a fight. Largely because now that just about everybody has found where they are going to be in the SEC, in the Big Ten, in the Big 12, I think the ACC recognizes that if Florida State and Clemson bail, that the rest of the schools with any notoriety, predominantly North Carolina and Miami, would be right behind them if they were invited somewhere. And hey, when I say somewhere, I'm not necessarily just talking about the Big Ten or the SEC. The Big 12 is in play too, because it is projected that those schools in that conference will be paid more by their conferences than the schools in the ACC will get paid. So there is the possibility that the rest of the schools left behind in the conference could decide that they are out, even if they don't catch an invite to the Big Ten or the ACC, by going to the Big 12 for more money. The ACC is fighting for its life. And entities that are fighting for their lives do not tend to be willing to settle. We'll see how that plays out. Before we do, let's get to item number three. I've gone back and forth on where to go. NASCAR got back underway last night. Austin Dillon takes home the Cookout 400. And when you have one crew chief that calls a racer chicken, it's probably worth the story. But then, just as I was ready to put that down on the table, the Atlanta Braves decide that they need to go do something really, really stupid. They lose last night to the Colorado Rockies 9-8. Now, again, a loss in and of itself is not necessarily a story that justifies a spot on the water cooler cheat sheet. Sometimes a loss stands out. The Braves have had a pretty spectacular run of losses that indeed stand out. Last night, they decided to top all of them by surrendering 7 runs in the Rockies' final three. Well, not final three outs, because had it been a tie, they would have gone on to 3 more in the bottom of the ninth. But in what ultimately became the Rockies' final necessary 3 outs, the Braves surrendered 7 runs in the bottom of the 8th inning, could not score in the top of the 9th, and allowed the Rockies to get out of there with a 9-8 win and take 2 out of the 3 against the Atlanta Braves. Yes, the Colorado Rockies, the 44-75 Colorado Rockies, took 2 of 3 away from the Atlanta Braves, who are now just 5 games over 500. And at this point, I'm not convinced they won't end the season below 500. Spencer Schwellenbach did all he could. 6 innings pitch, gave up 6 hits and 2 earned runs, K'd 7-6. Luke Jackson checked in with no outs in the 8th. He K'd 2 after he gave up 4 hits and 4 earned runs. It was then that Brian Snicker decided to make the switch to Joe Jimenez, who just needed to get one out. And he did, after he gave up 4 hits and 3 more runs. 7 runs in that inning allowed the Rockies to take a 9-8 lead. The Braves could not find anything in the top of the 9th, and they lose. Here's the wild thing. Fortunately for the Atlanta Braves, both the Phillies and the Mets are struggling right now as well. Philadelphia dropped 3 out of 4 to the Arizona Diamondbacks, including a 12-5 decision last night. The New York Mets just got swept by the Seattle Mariners 3-0, which means that for some reason, inexplicably, the Atlanta Braves are still second in the NL East and are still just 7.5 games back in the NL East because, again, those other two teams are melting down. More interesting, the Braves right now are back in a wild card spot. By way of being a half game better of the New York Mets, the Atlanta Braves are in the third wild card spot. They are 5 games back of the two teams, the Diamondbacks and the Padres, that currently have an identical 6-6, 66-53 record and hold the top two spots. The Bravos now hold the third spot. They are a half game up on the New York Mets, 1.5 games up on both the Cardinals and the Giants, 3 games up on the Chicago Cubs as it stands today. So a hilarious loss by the Atlanta Braves last night. An embarrassing loss by the Atlanta Braves last night, yet courtesy of the other two top teams in the NL East dropping ball games last night, the Braves do remain inside of a playoff spot. All right, we got a bunch of stories we need to get to. That NASCAR race is one of them. Austin Dillon gets the win, but he spent not one, but two cars into a spin last night in the final 200 yards of that race. Was it a Dale Earnhardt caliber intimidator style win for the man who drives the number 3 car? Or was it, as one crew chief said, chicken? We'll talk about that. Plus, Deion Sanders is doing his darndest to make it impossible to root for him. Why? I'll give you that story too. It's all coming up on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. I have been Team Prime since Deion's time at Jackson State. I've enjoyed Deion Sanders. I do not necessarily think that Deion Sanders is a good coach, but I think Deion Sanders hit on a recipe that allowed him to be successful. And when he got to Colorado, I thought, all right, Deion has something that most coaches do not. And that is a level of celebrity reserved for only the upper echelon of professional athletes. Deion's got something that, you know, other coaches can achieve celebrity. Kirby Smart has achieved a level of celebrity. Ryan Day. And a lot of it is very regional, right? Deion Sanders has something that I think very few, if any, traditional college coaches can accomplish in terms of celebrity. He has got national celebrity. Deion Sanders can go anywhere in the United States of America and be recognized as Deion Sanders, as Coach Prime. And I thought to myself when he got to Colorado, you know what? If you combine that, because even the new generation knows Deion. The kids playing in college football today were not alive when Deion Sanders played. Everybody knows Deion. If he can combine that with putting together a genuinely good coaching staff, then perhaps there's a chance that Deion can succeed. I don't know that Deion is a great X's and O's guy, but the guy can recruit his ass off, and he puts together a coaching staff that can X's and O's. They got a chance to be good. Well, Deion seems dead set on finding ways to make it difficult to root for him. There was an article that went around last week that very clearly Deion Sanders took objection to. And I get it. I get it. There was an article that went around last week that effectively said the culture in the Colorado locker room is bad. It details reports of the Sanders kids hazing other players. It has reports of there being a, quote, gun culture, end quote, in the locker room. It has reports of multiple fights breaking out repeatedly and often throughout the locker room. It painted the Deion Sanders-led locker room in a less than stellar light. Well, Deion held a post-practice news conference over the weekend, and he got a minute to talk to the national media. I'm going to play you a quick clip that kind of highlights effectively how the entire 35-minute press conference went. Okay, Deion.
Who's the guy in the back?
He don't know. He just pointed off in a direction.
Yeah, I want to know who the guy in the back was. I think that's really important to the story.
I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't think there was a guy in the back. I think Deion was just talking. I don't think he was pointing to anybody because he goes like this. He kind of points like up and to the side. Now, is there a chance there was like some cameraman in the background that he knew there was? I don't know. I get the impression Deion's being combative for the sake of being combative. I don't think it frankly matters who he was pointing to.
Or is it possible that he was railing against buzzwords that are used by reporters who don't have a clue what it means, but everybody else uses bolster.
No,
everybody else uses chemistry.
The question.
Everybody else uses those questions, but they don't know what they mean.
I'm going to say this. If you have that little respect, if somebody uses the word bolstered and you have the lack of respect to say, I don't think you know what that means, yeah, you're just being a jerk
at that point. Is there something between those two people? Did the guy write an article? Is the guy been a certain way with Deion in the past that makes him abrasive towards this guy?
Doesn't matter because he did this for 35 minutes. It was a barrage of this level of combativeness. And if you are not capable of sitting in front of the media, and I'm not saying you got to be friendly. I worked around Nick Saban,
I was going to say, we've seen Steve Spurrier kick guys out. I mean, it's not unusual in college football for a coach to sit up there and have a problem with the media. There's a guy, and I forget his name, that no longer works in Columbia, had to go somewhere else because Spurrier came at him all the time.
Which, by the way, and I obviously wasn't here for that, but I was around Spurrier when he was at Florida, and I will go one step further and say, you don't have to like this, but there's also the concept of a double standard based on success. Nick Saban can get away with being a jerk a lot more when he's got two fistful of natties. Kirby Smart, Dabo Sweeney. These guys can get away with being a little bit more combative, but Deion knows what the question he was being asked is here. You know what the word bolstered means, all right? It's not uncommon. What's chemistry mean? You know what chemistry means on a football team, Deion. This is not like you didn't get asked some Yale caliber question about a football team. You got asked about the chemistry of your offensive line.
I will say chemistry is a common word. Bolster is not. Bolster is only seems to be used in sports media.
Okay, even if that's true, let's say that's fair. It's not, but let's say that's fair. All right?
We spend a lot of time talking off the air, and I don't recall you ever using bolster in a sentence.
All right, I'm not gonna have a thesaurus argument. Let's say you're right for the sake of the discussion. I am willing to cede that you're right, and only elitist, nose in the air, jack wagon media sports reporters use the word bolstered. He said, what's that mean? And the guy said, you beefed up your offensive line. You're a Big Ten guy. I know you've heard the expression beefed up before.
So maybe he's offended by him saying that their linemen are fatter.
Great. And then the reporter said, you made it better. He three times changed the word that Deion got up in his feelings about. Three times he used a different word for Deion, and it still ended with Deion being combative. That, to me, is the mark of somebody who is losing their composure. And it's fine to be stressed out for what is happening. It is a different thing to be a combative jerk because things are going wrong for you. That's a problem.
So many times we have seen clips pulled from an overall thing and find out that it was joking or something like that. You said the press conference was really long.
35 minutes and it was all like this. He had one joke when he came out and there was a honey bun on the table and he picked it up and said, oh, I'm trying to get a six pack. I can't be eating these. And he got rid of the honey bun. And then for the next 34 and a half minutes, it was just Dion being needlessly combative. Now, if Dion wants to be that way, cool, man. Cool. That's fine. Here's what I'm going to tell you. It's not going to help your program any. All right? If you want to be that way, it's fine. It is one thing, like we said, and this is where that double standard comes from. Nick Saban had a fistful of rings. He could be combative. And then anytime there was public issue going on, he could go, golly, my hand's real heavy, you guys, because of all the gold I'm dripped in right now. Ryan Day, well, he can't do that, but he's close. Kirby Smart, got a couple of rings. He can go, oh, you don't like me? I don't care. I got rings. Dion's got a 4-8 football team. And when you are figuring out a way to go from a team that last year coming into the season was the talk of college football, you were the guy that everybody was talking about. Everybody. And now you are finding ways. I mean, I guess they're still talking about you, but now it's just about how big of a jerk you're being completely needlessly. Completely, there's no need for it. Just go, hey, we got better. We got better. We got bigger. We got better. Here's what the guys are doing in practice. Here's what the guys are doing in scrimmage. Yada, yada, yada. You can still be Dion and be goofy and have fun. And that's what we love about Dion. But like, you just came across as a pedantic jerk. What is chemistry? Coach, you've been in football for 1,000 years. You know what we mean. You know what that means. This wasn't a trick question. It's just a question. What's the chemistry between Rob and Lonzo? It's segment to segment, but you know what the question means. I don't get it. I don't get why he's got to be this way. And it's going to make it hard for the casuals to like and support your team, and that's the best thing you got going, my man. The best thing you got going is your celebrity and your public, and this just dings you up, and I don't get it. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. It's the Fan Upstate, 844-326-3663. That's the Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas Fan Phone. Text us, 71307, 71307. Start your text with Fan, F-A-N. We will read them on the air. Love to have you join the show. Texter said, I watched and Dion went off on a guy that wrote bad articles on him. So the article in question that I think is probably what got Dion's goat, so to speak. The article in question, and we talked a little bit about it in the last segment, is an article that got put up last week that said that there was a number of issues within the Colorado Buffalo locker room. There was an Athlon Sports article written by Steve Corder that went up. The headline is, quote, Deion Sanders' chaotic culture turns into locker room violence in Colorado, end quote. It goes on to talk about some of the issues that are alleged to have taken place. There is a quote in the Athlon Sports article that is allegedly from one former Deion player that said, quote, it's like a real life Grand Theft Auto video game. There are many distractions with fights, guns, and money floating around. The environment is unlike any I've come from before. A former player spoke out, according to the Athlon Sports article, spoke out with what happened with former five-star talent Cormani McClain. The former player said, quote, Cormani was taking a lot of heat from everyone. At the same time, Coach Prime was saying he was in the doghouse and he needed to improve. Cormani was getting bullied by Shiloh. After the Oregon State game, Shiloh slapped him several times, which left Cormani screaming, "I'm going to kill you," repeatedly. After that, you could tell he wasn't mentally there. It's hard when the coaches you trust are calling you derogatory names on the practice field, end quote. The article goes on to say, quote, "The violence often seemed to come from personal vendettas, but not always. Jordan Seaton, another five-star recruit, was allegedly bullied into, quote, proving his manhood, end quote, and picked a fight with former CU lineman Savion Washington. In April, the two were said to have exchanged blows, leaving both bloody. Witnesses described it as, quote, two bears scrapping for food," end quote. The article then goes on, a paragraph later, to say, "While bullying was also a common theme, there was another alleged incident involving a gambling debt between backup quarterback Colton Allen and wide receiver Caleb Mathis. Days after the Seton Washington melee, the son of Kevin Mathis, who CU's defensive back coach, was asked to pay Allen over a gambling debt in excess of $10,000, according to a former Colorado player. When Mathis refused, he allegedly proceeded to punch Allen repeatedly in the locker room, with players and coaches witnessing the assault. Allen allegedly refused to discuss the matter, fearing repercussions due to Mathis's connection to Deion Sanders' coaching staff. Athlon reached out to Allen's father, who also denied comment." And then there was more. "Outside of the fights, which now appear to be spilling over to the field during practice, with Coach Prime even encouraging teammates to square off against each other, the gun culture is troublesome. According to a report by Naples Daily News, Colorado commit Ebenezer Boozy was arrested for allegedly threatening a girl with a gun 6 months before he was charged with misdemeanor battery stemming from an incident last year." So basically, an article went up from Athlon Sports, which was, I don't want to say sourced, but which claims to have gotten quotes from multiple former Colorado players, though those players remain anonymous. And like I said in the last segment, this article effectively says that things are running wild in Colorado. Another Colorado player showed off a handgun while announcing his commitment. Chidozie Nwankwo showed what appeared to be a Glock 40 on the table as he celebrated with Prime on a live stream. For the most part, the flashing incident went under the radar, but has relevance to the type of culture being fostered behind closed doors. In fact, Prime and his staff took his players up into the mountains for a retreat this offseason. The theme was to bond over fishing and shooting guns at the range. Let's be real clear. That's fine with me, all right? That's fine. I have absolutely gone out shooting with the fellas in a bonding experiment. I've gone shooting with plenty of people in my life as a bonding experiment. I've gone out and done it hunting. I've gone out to the range. Whatever. No issue with that. It is a different story in this day and age, like it or not, when you got players flashing Glock 40s while they're hanging out with Prime. While they're hanging out with Coach Prime. It's just, it's not a great look. So, again, when an article like that drops, I can understand Prime, if these things are false and not happening, I can understand having a reaction to that. I can understand having a yo bleep the media reaction to that. But I also think it is important to recognize that the things you say and when you say them are reflective of you and your program. And I don't, like, whatever. If you want to act this way, act this way. But what is the, as we talked about, number one thing that Prime has going for him? It is the celebrity and the visibility that he has by being Deion Sanders.
How's he hurt the program by acting the way he did?
Because I think, and again, I could be wrong on this.
The players, are they going to look at it and go, I can't play for that guy.
You are not only winning over players, you are trying to win over players' parents as well. Not that parents should or do have the final say, but if you are reading at the same time, and this is the other part, this is where it does get political. You have to like it. That's a big part of the game. When you've got articles going around that appear to be sourced. Some of them are sourced. But you've got an article going around that says you've got a coach that is not only not discouraging violence in his locker room, but is actively encouraging it between his own players. Is that a spot you want to go? When you've got accusations that a coaching staff is out there banging up on and calling players derogatory names in practice, do you think that that is going to foster improvement? One of the elements of being Deion is that you can say there is not a coach out there that can get you more NFL ready than me, right? Deion's whole success has been based on and around out-recruiting everybody else. That's how he did not win at Jackson State because he was putting together excellent game plans and going out there and beat. He was winning at Jackson State because he was going and getting 4- and 5-star recruits that otherwise would have ended up at Florida State or Mississippi State or wherever and getting them to come play at his HBCU, pardon me. That's how he won. That is part of what will win for him at Colorado is getting guys that would typically move from Colorado to go play at an Ohio State or a Michigan or a USC or a Cal and bring them to Buffalo to play for Prime. Nobody can get you more NFL ready than an NFL Hall of Famer that you will learn from every day. But when you got reports like this one coming around, that the locker room is a cesspool, if you'll pardon me for using my woke language, toxic. Yeah, I don't think it's going to do you any favors getting kids to come play there. I don't think it's going to do you any favors. There's another aspect. It's not just you get to go play for Deion. Remember last year, week one, when they came out of the tunnel and Lil Wayne came out rapping out of the tunnel to lead him onto the field? While there will be some celebrities, I think, that will still be fine attaching themselves to this, when the opening game for Colorado looked like a damn movie premiere with the number of mega superstars that were out there, all faces that bring attractiveness to your team, I suspect that at some point, and again, I could be wrong, all I can tell you is me, but I suspect at some point you get to a point where celebrities go, yeah, I can't really be connected to that. That can't be a part of my image. I can't be connected to that. And if all of, even if it's just a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of that, then the number one strength Deion Sanders has gets weakened. And it's already going to be a challenge for Deion. It's already going to be a challenge. It already is a challenge. You got to get kids to Boulder, Colorado. You ever been to Boulder, Colorado? I've been to Boulder, Colorado. It's a beautiful place. You know what else it is in November and December? It's also cold as hell. So especially if you're a 5-star kid that wants to play quarterback in a wide open offense, wide receiver in a wide open offense, playing games in Boulder, Colorado in late November, early December, not really conducive. There's a lot of challenges that lay ahead for Deion to improve on from a 2-win season to a 4-win season that I don't think acting like this is going to help you with that at all. Will there be some kids that go, yeah, I want to play for a coach that's you know, got an attitude. I want to play for a coach that is combative. Sure. There are kids that'll play for any kind of coach if that coach is winning. But again, this is the type of attitude and language you get away with if you're Nick Saban. You get away with if you're Kirby Smart. Let's not pretend. Kirby Smart's a great comparison. Let's not pretend like there's not some off-the-field issues going down in Athens, Georgia right now.
Yeah, but that's tradition. I mean, every year, I just that makes it a tradition, right?
I mean, it's not unfair. Seems to be heightened right now because Kirby does it better. But let's not pretend there's not some stuff going down in Athens, Georgia right now, right? Is it hurting Georgia right now? I mean, they're opening as a 2-touchdown favorite over Clemson. They're opening as the solo odds-on favorite to win the national championship this year. So, not much. But here's the opposite side of that. Kirby Smart isn't going up to the media and going, what's chemistry mean? What's beef up mean? What's bolster mean? You don't like him, he don't like you. Y'all don't got good chemistry at home, but you keep going. Dion, we write blogs for a living, bud. We say words into a microphone for a living. We're not out there trying to win football games with tens of thousands of people showing up every Saturday to watch us. Is it important that Lonzo and I have good chemistry? Yes. Yes, it is. Which is why if somebody asked about it, I don't go full combat mode on them. Just answer the question, man. You got a lot of people that want to be involved with what you're building in Boulder, Colorado. A lot of people who want to be involved with the program that you're putting together. And now they got a head coach up there who claims he doesn't know what the word bolster means, gets upset about somebody using it, doesn't know what beef up means, which I don't believe for a millisecond, gets upset about him using that, then tries to lecture a journalist on what word they should use. You should say improve. Say improve then. Say improved.
He is a former TV analyst, so he would know those sort of things.
Yeah, you'd think he knows the word bolster for sure. You certainly should know the word beef up. You're a football coach.
I'm okay with beef up. Bolster, I think, is only used in these circumstances, and it's overused. I mean, you know, I guess maybe they teach you that in media. Do they?
I mean, again.
Do they tell you certain words in class? These are words that you have to use?
No, I think like any other job, people see what works and doesn't.
You went to journalism
the word
class.
Bolster is not a big word. That's not an SAT word. That's an everyday word.
No one said it was
word.
A big. It's unused. It's only used in this circumstance by media people.
I disagree vehemently. But even if you're right, I will cede the point for the sake of the argument. Even if you're right, this is still a combative, unnecessary way to answer legitimate questions about your football team. And it's not just completely unnecessary, but when it comes, and even if this article and stuff didn't come out, I might just go, Dion's having a bad day. Everybody's entitled to a bad day. I've had bad days that have caused issues before with people that I love. Maybe it's just a bad day for Dion. It was his birthday. He got a year older. Maybe he's just having a hard time dealing with that. But when it comes out on the heels of a number of articles that claim that your program is a runaway freight train, it's not a great look, man. It's not. You know what is a great look? Lonzo's a great look.
Yeah, they asked me about the chemistry. I hold up three, walk off the stage, and say, look at my backside. The Atlanta Braves suffered one of their most disappointing losses of the year last night, falling 9-8 to the Colorado Rockies. Atlanta surrendered 7 runs in the bottom of the 8th inning, giving away an 8-2 lead. Despite the Atlanta loss, they still hold a wild card spot, a half game up on the Mets. Austin Dillon won last night's Cookout 400 in Richmond, vaulting him from 32nd in the point standings into an automatic playoff position. Dillon hit race leader Joey Logano in the rear. Spinning him out, then put his nose into Denny Hamlin, put him in the wall, and then he won. You know, whatever it takes. I guess tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for a brand new local show, Wire to Wire, Cole Bryson. These will get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, a whole lot of fun, and no diesel. And it's all Wire to Wire.